Around the NFL Podcast. Can't even get on NFL Network in a pandemic.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm coming to you from a city and a world filled with heroes and bunkers. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
And we have one more hero to introduce. Hit it, Ricky. He's an NFL writer and reporter based in the UK. He's the host for Sky Sports TV, the Inside the Huddle podcast. He was a barefoot kicker and tight end for the Kent Exiles football team. He used to play catch in a storeroom at the NFL Europe office, wearing the head of the Scottish Claymores mascot while doing it. He didn't try honey for the first time until 2008.
Weirdo.
He supports Liverpool, and he is the host of the brand spanking new Neil Reynolds podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Neil Reynolds.
What an intro.
Welcome to the Around the NFL podcast.
Thank you.
That's an anthem.
Yeah. Hey, that all came from Handsome Hank, right? All that information.
I don't reveal my sources ever.
No, true journalist. Very good. Yeah. Very good. Thanks for having me, guys.
I mean, let's start with the honey thing. Come on now.
Yeah, what's up with the honey thing?
Now, my source said that you famously have a very bland palate.
And I do.
But even if that's true, honey 2008, that's a disgrace.
Yeah, I do have a very, very bland palate. And
you're British. What can you do?
Exactly. What can you do with that?
Really, really leaning into these cultural stereotypes, Neil.
And I was at NFL UK, and myself and who I'm guessing is your source, Dan, Handsome Hank, Henry Hodgson, we were kind of known for making outlandish predictions and guarantees around NFL Europe games, around NFL games. I think I made some stupid guarantee, which I failed on, and the forfeit was to do like a Bush Tucker trial, like you see in the I'm a Celebrity show, The Jungle. I had to eat a bunch of stuff, which was supposed to be kind of really out there. But for me, because I was so bland, it was sushi, which was ridiculous, honey. But then I did eat some, I think I ate some ants and some crickets, but most of it was just food that everyone really likes, but not for me.
But Neil, I've got to, as the person on this side of the ocean that is charged continuously with not being adventurous enough with their food choices. For instance, I've never eaten cottage cheese, and I would rather be taken out by a female gunman than eat cottage cheese, because it's like, why must I swallow what looks like chunky milk?
Why must it be a female gunman?
Well, because that would be an incredible way to go, and I've thought about that probably once a day since like 17.
There are so many layers to that onion.
But I gotta ask, that's a texture thing. I look at cottage cheese, and it's just like, why would a human put that into their system? That's how I feel. But honey feels unoffensive visually in any other way, and it's sort of like it goes back to even like biblical diets. What is the issue with honey?
I'm glad we're peeling this back. I have no idea, but I don't stick to just that texture. You know, I don't eat fish. I don't really like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just a bit fussy, and I don't know what honey, it's just a bit too full of itself, isn't it? I think it's just,
yeah. We could be really, you and I could be quarantined together and we'd be fine. Yeah.
You guys are fooditarians. Yeah. It's a worldwide issue. The fooditarians, they should unite and push back against all the people that like food.
Well, we are heading into fooditarian zones. So for those of you,
I don't know, when you have less options,
well,
Mark,
every Thursday night you need to go eat like lamb chops with like a big eyeball on top of it. That's not an option anymore for you.
There's a bit of an aggressive tone forming here, so let's just move on. Neil, you are the Rich Eisen, of course, famously of the UK when it comes to pro football coverage, NFL coverage, And we are so happy to have you on the show because this has been a great bond between our podcast and your great studio show and live coverage of the NFL at Sky Sports. So I know a lot of listeners who've been listening for a long time are aware that you've been on the show before, but you are very much a friend of the show at a high level. So it's great to have you back, especially at this time where you're launching a new podcast. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I really appreciate you guys having me on. I'm still hosting the Inside the Huddle podcast with Jeff Reinbold. Rob Ryan's on that with us as well. But I wanted to do something I think inspired by you guys. You know, you've had so many side projects and so many, things off, side podcasts, and I do listen to the show a lot. And I thought, well, I should give it a go. And I don't want to do another kind of opinion-based thing. You guys cover all of the news and opinion. You do it in a great way. Mike Florio does it. Peter King does it. Why would people want to hear me do that?
Right. We don't mention those names on this show.
Ever.
Sorry. Yeah. You can probably bleep them out afterwards, I would guess. But so I thought, well, what can I do? I have great contacts. I have good access around the league. I've covered this sport for a long time. I do get very fortunate with the NFL UK Lives to spend a lot of time with players traveling around the UK. So I thought, well, I'll start telling their stories. And that's what I did with the first one. I decided I'm going to make a bit of an effort with the first one and try and go out to actually interview whoever the first one is in person. So I dropped Ryan Fitzpatrick a text and said, can I come and come to you somewhere in Tampa where you live? And we'll do like a 30-minute interview. And he said, no, come, we'll go out fishing and then we'll do the interview. So we literally...
Wow.
We were fishing in the waterways off the back of where he lives.
Did you catch anything?
I did, yeah. And I'm not, I mean, people can listen to the podcast when it drops. We put a lot of the fishing audio in there. I don't like eating fish, but I also don't like handling fish or being around any live fish. So you hear me kind of have a bit of a meltdown because he literally, we started.
Oh, you're ready for the apocalypse, Neil. I could tell.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go out there and hunt a gatherer. So we literally, I cast it off the back of the boat. And then literally within 5 minutes, I had a bite. And then I was absolutely terrified. And then so I caught that fish, but he had to land it. And then I sound...
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it was, the whole thing was embarrassing. I'll tell you why it was embarrassing as well, because I felt a little bit, I think he did it on purpose, a little bit emasculated. So I'm in this kayak, but it was like a pedalo, really. I'm in this pedal boat, and Fitz looks like this, some sort of god from an ancient past, on a paddleboard, standing up strong. And I'm kind of flailing around in a pedal boat, can't land this fish. And he had to land it, and then I literally turn into 5-year-old Neil Reynolds. It's a question every 5 seconds. Fitz, are we going to put it back? Is that him making that noise? Is he all right? Do you want me to drop him back in the water? How long can he hold his breath for? Are we throwing him back, Fitz? And he was like, it's fine. He's fine. We're throwing him back. And so, yeah, we did. But we had a great time. And to be able to get that kind of access, that's what I wanted to bring with this podcast, is that up-close access, spending quality time with players. And so we did that on the Sunday, and then I spent the Monday with Bruce Arians. So that'll be episode 2 coming up in a couple of weeks.
Now this is Bruce Arians pre Tom Brady, right?
Yeah, actually I was so about 5 minutes before I was due to meet with Coach Arians, we're waiting in his office, and then the PR guy for the Bucks said, actually, let's wait outside in the lobby. You don't want to be just camped up in coach's office. He said he's running a little bit late. He's just been called into an emergency meeting with Jason Light, the general manager. And I said, oh, I'd love to be a fly on the wall with that. You know, free agency starting next week. So coach comes in. And then the very next day, I'm flying home. There was a headline saying the Bucks are apparently all in for Tom Brady. So what were they discussing in that meeting? But he was a good one as well. And I think when you get people, the good thing about this podcast, I think, and I hope, is that I'm not trying to break news. So I said to Coach Arians, I would like 30 minutes of your time, but I'm probably not going to ask you a question about Jameis Winston, because it's about your life. It's about your stories. And he was, I've interviewed him a couple of times before, but he was as open and as emotional as I've ever seen him. So it was, hopefully that comes across.
No, that's great. So yeah, Neil Reynolds podcast, wherever podcasts are found. Is it up yet? Is it launched yet? What's the date?
So it launches tomorrow, Thursday, 7 a.m. in the UK time. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so by the time you guys wake up on Thursday, it will be up and running. And yeah, hopefully... get some good numbers.
I have one quick question. It is a slight humble brag, but you own it because you're a man who's deep in sources. You're texting back and forth with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, I mean, I just want to know when he sends a long, chunky paragraph, capitalization, grammar, punctuation, is it totally what you'd expect from, we all know where he went to school. Is it Ivy League level texting, or is he a typical athlete bro when it comes to communication?
No, he's pretty good with that. The only thing and if you know Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's a bit of a joker. So when I met up with him at the Super Bowl, we arranged to meet through his agent. When Fitz was over in the UK, he made all these pictures of us that were on the stage show together, but superimposed our faces on the Coyote Ugly scene, on the Spice Girls. And so he introduced me to his agent by saying, Neil's the one in the bottom right. And then I looked at the picture and it was me as Baby Spice with the blonde hair and everything. So, yeah, that humor comes through with him. But no, he's a very intelligent man. He's actually the most unspoiled NFL player you could ever wish to meet. I mean, the last thing he said to me was like, we'll come back and we'll do this again soon, but don't bring any recording equipment. We'll just take a few beers out. It was a privilege to spend the time with him. It was a bit like being in that, felt like a couple of characters in that big movie with Tom Hanks, because we arrived at his house, knocked on the door, and he said, we're going to go about half a mile down the street to record by the water's edge. And I said, okay, we're all going to jump in one car. And he said, no, he sent the producer off, he sent the cameraman off, and he went, me and you are going to go on these, and walked into his garage. And there are two electric scooters. And then he just races off down the road, and I had to try and catch him up. And that's just how he was.
He seems like the guy he's figured out life. He's rich. He's a football player. He's got the Harvard angle. He's got like 47 kids. He's happily married. He's got scooters going down to the pond to go fishing. It just seems like the guy figured it out.
Yep. He's ticked every box. And very unspoiled by it, though.
So to speak.
all right, Neil. So this is what we're going to do. We're happy that you're sitting in on the Wednesday edition of the Around the NFL Bunker Cast. How many Bunker Cast
drink here, by the way?
Oh yeah. Well, there it is. Of course.
Yeah.
People that watch, it's Wine 30. Definitely where Neil is, no matter what the time is.
Nighttime.
And you'll know that from our Sky Sports appearances over the last couple seasons that Neil, he likes to get a little bit loose. If you catch my drift.
Well, on air.
On air, off air, any time of day. Sun's up, sun's down, the wine's out. Yes or no? Come on.
Fabulous, but we'll deal with it.
Ricky, how many bunker casts are we up to now?
I think I know the number.
Are we 13?
She
14?
She's I don't know. She's having there's some.
We've done 10. Two full weeks and a Friday, so now we're at 13.
That's not 8.
Yeah, we're 13.
All right, BunkerCast 13. We're going to hit some news. I hope Erica's okay. We're having some technical difficulties on her end. We'll hit some news. And then, Neil, I hope you're comfortable with this. Usually, if you're a pro, you clear it with a guest, but we didn't do that. We're going to sit you on the hot seat and ask some questions and get some answers.
No, I saw that your live show. I'm not sure I'm happy about that.
So just be ready.
Payback.
Not less an interrogation and more, payback for you doing the same thing to us last time we were in England.
Fair enough.
All right. Before we do that, though, let's get to the news.
Welcome to the Ryan Fitzpatrick podcast.
No, I said you helped me launch my podcast. The Neil Reynolds podcast.
Welcome to the Neil Reynolds podcast.
You're just a guest. Special guest.
Okay.
But a guest nonetheless.
Okay, my fault.
Coming soon.
All right, let's start with news that became official. We've talked about this on the podcast, that it was something that was tied to the new CBA, which has since been ratified, but it will indeed start in the year 2020, this season, hopefully. The NFL expands to 14 teams in the playoffs, up from 12. The big fallout from this, obviously, it's one team in each conference added to the mix. Also, there is no longer a number two seed that gets a bye. So now you only have one team that gets a bye straight into the divisional playoffs. You have an extra team in each division, in each conference, making the dance. And it happens right now, this season, still 16-game season, Greg Rosenthal. But the playoff expansion is immediate.
Yeah, we are still waiting to see how this NFL season goes, but I think it's a fairly safe bet that NBC and CBS are both going to be broadcasting extra games. That was what I would, because we knew this was happening, but I was interested in how this was all going to play out. And basically, NBC is getting a Sunday night game, which will be fun. I mean, those wildcard weekends are going to be packed days with three games on each day. And then CBS gets an extra game where they also have a simulcast on Nickelodeon. So, maybe that's a spot they can throw the old Around the NFL podcast guys in.
Hey, now.
No, they're going to put like Blippi on that show. It will definitely be it's an interesting thought, having a youthful slant to how you call the game, I imagine, and playing it up that way. Neil, this is bad news for you, of course, because it's always difficult Sunday night football with a time change. It's in the middle of the night over in the UK. Now you got a playoff game going on at that time. Rough. But I guess the Super Bowl is even later.
Yeah, the wild card weekend and divisional round are the toughest 2 weeks on the calendar over here in terms of hosting the shows, because we will come off air around about 4:30, get to a hotel or somewhere for 5:30 in the morning, then we're back in the studio about 2:30, ready to go for the, you know, the 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff time games for the Sunday. So you do that Saturday, Sunday, both weekends, and it does take a little bit of a toll, but as I often say, we're just sitting there watching TV for a living, so can't complain. Can't complain too hard. I mean, I do, but no one's really going to listen. Yeah, I do. I absolutely do, but no one's going to listen.
Hey, Wes, do you think that obviously now only one team getting the bye, is that too much of an advantage for one team to have that? I know we're, as a group, we're kind of a little on the fence or against the idea of letting in these mediocre teams into the playoffs. But what about at the top of this with only one team getting a bye? What's your thoughts on that?
I'm trying to keep an open mind, and I think we'll have answers afterwards. But I don't think there's any need to think the sky is falling on the level of competition in week 16 or 17 yet. I'd like to see a fairly big sample size before we draw any major conclusions about the competitiveness and how much of an advantage that is. I think it's interesting because change is interesting.
I saw a couple of bye teams picked off in recent years, and I think it's interesting to add the seventh team where people are assuming that it's going to be some sort of 7-9 operation. And you know, if you go back to 2000, none of these seven seeds that would have made the playoffs in a 14-team format would have had a losing record. So that, for me, that kind of quells some of the fears. And I read an interesting article on Cleveland.com that said, in quotes, the expanded playoff format increases Brown's chances of making playoffs. Now that to me is cutting edge journalism. You have the analysis there is from the far reaches of space.
I did see some advanced metrics kind of saying that the one seed's chances of going any further aren't any higher, which kind of makes sense because they're in the same spot. It basically is just banging the two seed, and like their chances of making the Super Bowl now go down a significant amount, and that, like, you know, spreads out to the 3, 4, 5, 6. But the way they did it, basically, I don't know if the one seed's getting an edge as much as just that two seed is now getting banged in comparison.
And to the crowd that says, why is this happening? First of all, there's always been a shift going on. It's been a 12-team playoff field since 1990. It's been 30 years, obviously. But it was a 10-team field from 78 to 89. It was an 8-team field from 70 to 77. So the game has evolved over time in terms of how they handle the playoff structure. It just hadn't happened in a long time. Now, is it because we hit on the perfect structure? I kind of think yes. But then I had a teacher in junior high, Mrs. Miller, her name was. She was our social studies teacher, and she would teach us about what was going on, and she always pointed to one undefeated truth of the world: money makes the world go round. And during the negotiations for the CBA, they projected this, the players' union in the NFL projected $150 million in new annual revenues from broadcast rights and stadium revenue connected to adding these teams and just beefing it up a little bit. And that, I mean, this is a business and they're looking to make money. And as long as they don't destroy the product, which I don't think they will, I'm kind of into it. And going, circling back, Mark, if you're a fan of an eternally mediocre team, you know what I really miss? And Mark, you miss it more than me because it's been longer. There's nothing more exciting than waking up on a Saturday or Sunday in January when your team's playing a playoff game. And how exciting that is. I don't care what their record was or how they got there. To give more fans that opportunity, I think that's a good thing too.
Yeah, I mean, the last time I had that feeling was New Year's Day 1995. So I was excited for a lot of other reasons. The future was bright. I was young, vivacious, physically fit, looking better than now. So I
you
mean,
were, you were know, excited about the Empire Records release. That was a
absolutely
movie
that was
to.
A huge moment.
All right, in. Other league news, the NFL and their executives, they're planning for the season to start on time with the fans in the stands. That is the hope here with the, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic and the coronavirus. There's really no way to know how this is all going to play out. We all know that. But the NFL is going forward. You know, the way the schedule works, Greg, for the NFL, they're different than all these other major sports in the U.S. where they're having this opportunity to say to themselves, we have a window here where since we don't have actual on-field action, we could maybe, if everything works out, click into a situation where nothing is affected. And that's just what this is about. So they're planning for a reality, a best case reality, where they're essentially unaffected other than, you know, changes like there not being a physical draft, OTAs, things like that could be out the window. But the actual season to come, I think they're holding out hope they can rock on here.
I think the key word there was hope.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to move forward with planning for this season because why wouldn't you? Who knows what's happening behind closed doors in terms of contingencies? The biggest headline for me wasn't that they're saying publicly they're planning for the season. What else are you going to do right now? It's the fact that they are putting a over-under on the schedule release at May 9th, which is it is an interesting flag to kind of plant in the ground. Now, May 9th is so far away that maybe they're thinking they'll have a better feel.
Seems like everything is fluid right now in the world, including the NFL. Let's move on and talk a little player action or player news, I should say. NFL Network's Mike Garofalo, our boy, reported that, quote, multiple teams have expressed interest in acquiring the franchise-tagged Yannick Ngakoue, the young star defensive end of the Jaguars. We don't have any known teams who have reached out, but the Eagles, Seahawks, Packers, and Jets, all teams that have been linked to Ngakoue. Wes, is this guy the type of player that that a team that doesn't get him is going to be kicking themselves for having that opportunity and not taking advantage of it at this time?
I think the two strengths of his game, what he's bringing to free agency that are most attractive are his age. I don't think he's even 25 years old yet. And the fact that he comes off the edge and creates turnovers. The quarterback often doesn't see him coming. It leads to a lot of strip sacks. And I think those kinds of pass rushers are worth more. That's why he's getting a lot of love from interested teams.
And finally, in the news, here's something we had been tracking. Tom Brady, he's number 12. He always has been number 12. Signs with the Bucks, who just so happen to have a young star wide receiver named Chris Godwin, who also wears number 12. Perfect setup for Godwin, who has Brady over a barrel, obviously, financially, however he wanted to make this thing work. Well, guess what? Godwin instead decided that he just gave the number away to Tom Terrific, quote unquote. Godwin will now be number 14 moving forward. Brady 12. No transaction, no compensation. Just Godwin being a good guy, I guess. So that, you know, that closes out that storyline.
Neil, I feel like when you have leverage over us for certain things, you would not be as kind as Chris Godwin was.
No, I feel like that's an opportunity missed. And not even give me, I feel like that's $1 million at least, and not even to a charity. Like, give it to me in my pocket. I mean, Chris Godwin had an opportunity. That's never coming again. It's TB12. It's Tom Brady. Yeah, I feel I'm disappointed.
He's gonna get Brady's gonna give him something in the end when they meet up. He'll get something. That's the kind of leader, the kind of guy that Tom Brady is.
Yeah, Dan mentioned that
Butler a pickup truck.
Yeah, Dan mentioned that Brady was not folded over a barrel. I would definitely fold Tom Brady over a barrel and get as much as you can. You've got Chris Godwin. How long will the career go on? Get some of this TB12 quarterback money and ensure that your children and nephews and nieces and other offspring that we don't know about don't work ever again.
And I'll just add that I'm very happy that Brady's still number 12. Hate it when iconic players change their number. I mean, what was worse than Michael Jordan coming back to the NBA? And I know there were circumstances involved with his father, but when he was number 45 instead of the iconic 23, that's the reason an NBA team from Orlando knocked him out of the playoffs that year, and you can't convince me otherwise. Kobe,
that number was retired. He had to officially petition the NBA to get 23 back again after Nick Anderson embarrassed him.
I mean, can we? Oh boy, can we cut through the red tape though? It's Michael Jordan getting his own number back.
Exactly.
And Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul, going from 8 to 24, or is it 24 to 8? I can't remember. Let's calm down with all this stuff. Stick with the number that you became famous with. We all like it that way. Come on now. End of rant.
Wow. I mean, it's not going to be a popular take out there. hope you're ready to deal with the backlash.
It's going to be some serious fallout. That's what's happening in the news. Neil, I know you want to hang up right now, and you could because you have an easy out here where this is transatlantic. There's the world is on fire. And if you were to magically disconnect right now, and say that technical difficulties brought a premature end to your appearance on today's episode, we would have to take you at your word. So this is your chance to get out now if you'd like to.
I feel like that's some kind of challenge, so I'm going to stick around.
All right. Well,
let's do it.
Then why don't we put the great Neil Reynolds on the hot seat? And before we do, Mark, can you remind listeners or teach listeners about what Neil has done to us when we've been on his show in the past?
Yeah, I mean, not only just on, one show, but in multiple platforms, be it in recorded fashion or in one occurrence in front of a live audience. I am not sure more than a certain percentage knew who we were. And Neil was just frying us with some on-point questions about not only our professional opinions, but our personal lives. And so it would be wrong of us not to go down both roads and multiple other roads with Neil and make him feel the heat. I know that his face is warming up with that glass of rosé. He's feeling good, but we can change the vibe if we need to.
Yeah, and I also remember, Mark, at the Super Bowl, when you and I did a segment on Sky Sports from Radio Row, I remember him peppering you pretty hard with some Browns bits, where he was just trying to take you down a peg.
They love the Browns bits on Sky Sports.
Well, just there was that, and Dan, I believe I completely missed the handoff here. Our initial, we were thrown by Neil and some other people onto a very ultra-serious Sky News hit, where, and this was not sports, but it was like news professionals quizzing us about Colin Kaepernick's entanglement with society, and we did not fare well.
Yeah, it's revenge. It's revenge time.
I'm pretty sure, actually, on that. I don't think I was even in the building when you were doing Sky.
It's been decided, Neil.
It's easiest to blame, at this point, you.
Accountability, Neil. Accountability. All right, let's do it. And Mark, I know you have a couple as well. Let's cue it up. Ricky, let us put Neil, get his butt a little hot right now. Let's roll. Question number one. Not all these are going to be killers, Neil. Some are just questions, and I want your honest take on it. Number one, would you give up your right pinky toe for an NFL team in London?
Yes. Hang on. Would I fall over? Is that the one that gives you balance?
All right. Well,
you'll be all right.
You asked too many questions, so I'm upgrading it to the big toe.
I'm still going to do it. Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Very good. Number two. Of all the ex-NFL players Sky Sports has paid as analysts, who is the one individual that made you think to yourself, wow, so we're basically paying this guy to go on holiday in Europe?
Johnny Mitchell.
Ooh, he gave you an answer.
He delivered.
And I actually, you know, the pre-dinner, when I met Johnny Mitchell to talk about coming on Sky, he bit into his burger and spilled barbecue sauce all down himself, and that set the tone.
You know, Neil, I'm involved with the new Neil Reynolds podcast, and you just skewered Johnny Mitchell in a conversation we had. So there's a little tease for my appearance on the Neil Reynolds podcast. Mark, hit him with a question.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, I think we're in a period where it's already starting to get buzzy that, you know, celebrities not doing well. They're attempting to, you know, make us feel good from their remote kingdoms and palaces and like 18 sink kitchens. Celebrities, at some point, we will be eating celebrities at this goes on and on. What celebrity would you choose to, if you had to eat the body of a celebrity, give me a name, male or female or child?
Can I go Rob Ryan? Is that a celebrity? No.
I don't know if he would be considered a ultra celebrity. I'm talking like
he's a well-known figure.
You could just, with a spoon and knife, carve up and eat.
That is a tough one. I'm gonna go Donald Trump because he's already half cooked.
Okay. Big answer. during your bachelor days in London, did you ever hit the town with Henry Hodgson, aka Handsome Hank, aka Vice President of International NFL Media, as your wingman? Hank, of course, one of the great swordsmen in the history of your homeland.
No, because when you're I was happily married by then when I met him. But also, you don't go out with somebody who's better looking than you, who looks Never. Like they've been chiseled out of rock, who got shoulders about 8 foot wide. So no, I gave him a wide berth. We did.
What's
actually
the deal with that?
So we did during NFL Europe training camps. We would spend our nights. Everyone would go out on the town, and me and Hen, we would sit in our office and play Madden against each other, online coaching mode. How sad is that?
They're very sad, actually. Mark, hit him up with another one.
All right, scale. You know, we have a large UK audience and European audience, and you're someone they know and they trust your opinion. On a scale of 1 to 100, how much do you trust Queen Elizabeth II? Queen Elizabeth Part Two, 2.0.
Fair question.
I'm gonna give her a solid sort of 83.
I'm not aware of the political climate, so I'm assuming that's not surprising. That's how most feel.
I think that's a good grade, right?
Desert island for 6 weeks. Who do you choose as a companion? Your wonderful wife, Julie, or your boyhood hero, Dan Marino?
Now my wife, Julie. Does Dan Marino listen to the podcast?
I don't think Dan Marino listens to the NFL podcast, no.
Okay, all I'm going to say is they say you should never meet your heroes, and it's true.
Ooh.
Oh.
Do you need
Interesting.
More?
I would love more if you have it.
Actually, I grew up hating Joe Montana and idolizing Dan Marino because Montana beat Marino in Super Bowl 19. I worked with both of them on stage at the fan rallies in Trafalgar Square. We did big sit-down interviews for like 30 minutes with each of them. Give me Montana every day of the week. Montana was like, you can ask me whatever you like. Dan Marino, backstage, what are you going to ask me? You're not going to make me look stupid. I'm like, Dan, just chill out. I'm here for you. I'm going to make you look good. We're going to ask you the questions to give you the answers. He couldn't have been more nervous about going on stage. Or not nervous, more untrusting. I was destroyed.
Sorry to hear that.
It's like therapy.
Mark, do you have any others?
Last one. I like to ask this of all our guests. You know, you've done a lot of work with the group. You know all of us individually and in a collective sense. Which one, and I want an honest answer, do you respect the most?
I think, Mark, it's going to be you because of the way you handled this whole coronavirus thing, you know, getting yourself some separate digs. I've actually bought the house next door and I've evicted the lady next door. She's living on the street. And it's all inspired by you, Mark, because you just gave yourself that space. And I was like, that's a man who takes no prisoners. He's just going to... You got the kids at home? No, I'm going. I'm going to be over there then. And so it's you, Mark. And I think it should be you because I know I listen to the pod. so many other people that come on this podcast, you know, they don't respect you. Let's be honest.
Well, that feels entirely genuine to me. Thank you. You've flattened the curve a little bit on that front. And, you know, I give you props for what I assume to be a very honest answer right there.
And by the way, that's all Schrager had to say. With Mark's been on a crusade to find someone to respect him for a year now. Whoever asked the question, who do you respect the most, just say that guy so you can get out of the question.
Well, Mark's been Twitter messaging me as well while we're on air.
We also know who Neil respects the least, but that's related to the last time someone called in to this podcast from London, and that someone was me.
And finally, last question. That was a little loaded as well.
That was
some hot butt.
I mean, we said it was a hot seat, you know?
Hey, Greg, I'm actually worried. Let me just say I'm worried about you, Greg, because this situation with coronavirus is getting worse by the day, and soon you're only going to be able to go to the beach twice a day.
And finally, Neil's got zingers on the hot seat.
Hey, it's
finally, some listeners may be surprised to learn the national sport of England is not soccer, but cricket. In 30 seconds or less, please explain the rules of that deeply esoteric game.
So someone takes a big run up. They walk 50 paces back. They run up. They throw the ball. You kind of bat it in front of you, and then they pick up the ball, and they run back, and they do the same for 5 days, and then most of the time it ends in a tie.
Wow, all you need is 15 seconds.
Wow.
I'm not like Henry Hodgson. I'm not big on cricket. I'm not into it.
All right. He supports Liverpool, ladies and gentlemen. And you're off. You're off the hot seat. Ooh. Your butt is intact.
Are we still
Good
friends?
Good job, Neil.
I mean, you've been waiting for a title for Liverpool for 30 years, and then the season ends right as you're about to win it.
Thanks, Greg.
It's pretty rough. That's a pretty rough, like, cursed sports story. I mean, I know there's more important things in the world, but I don't know if there's anything quite like that you're two games away from winning your first title in 30 years, and then the season's over.
What about Greg with the sneaky flex there that I'm plugged in on the Premier League, what's going on in the standings?
It's not a flex.
That's a nice job by you, Greggy.
Someone about the most.
That's a nice job by you, Greggy.
It was a flex and a little twist of the knife that Liverpool are going to get robbed of the title when they're 25 points clear.
I had three vodkas last night and stumbled across on YouTube the 1986 St. Louis Open PBA, the Pro Bowlers Association. what a showdown! And a young 23-year-old Pete Weber,
the goat.
He dominated and. Really enjoyed it. That's where we're at in society. Neil, you've said it all. You said it all. You did it. And I'll tell you what, that British sensibility, I want to tell you something. I didn't really know any Brits personally until I met your good friend and former colleague, Hank. The thing about you guys, you people, is that it's unvarnished. Your takes, you're not afraid to rub people the wrong way, to ruffle some feathers. And that's why you were an ideal guy for the hot seat just now. You just call like it is, and you're not afraid what it does and the carnage you leave in the wake.
Left some carnage. I appreciate that. And I think you guys must have some of that deep in your bones as well, because I know how popular you guys have become over here. And I think your the tone you strike on your pod, it appeals to the British fans. That's why we wanted to get you on Sky Sports. And
you're talking to me specifically right now,
just
right?
You, Dan. Now, yeah. Yeah, your camera's the one that I'm seeing. So
I'm logging off. Thank
all
you.
All you, Dan.
Again, we are part of the Sky Sports NFL team every year, and hopefully that will continue, depending on how contract talks go with Neil and his people. Also, Neil, of course, has the Neil Reynolds podcast launching tomorrow. So if you're a fan of our show, and I know we have a lot of UK listeners, check it out. If you're on this side of the pond, check it out, because Neil obviously has put a lot of effort into it, and he's a grinder, and he's very talented, and we're happy to have this relationship with you, Neil. So now get back to your wine, get back to Julie, and good luck getting through this absurd situation we all find ourselves in right now.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. This is Dan Heads signing off for The Quiet Storm, The Mailman, The Old Boss, Ricky Hollywood, and the great Neil Reynolds, who loves honey. Until Thursday.